Good evening, everyone. Did everyone like how Elaine said, be very careful? Did a shiver run down your spine? Because it did mine. And then I realized she was reading from the Bible. Let's pray. Keep that passage open. We're going to be looking at the Ephesians passage. And let's pray for us. But I'm going to use a phrase from that first passage as we pray. So Paul says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. And so, Lord, we ask that you would do just that tonight. That we open ourselves to your word, that it might dwell in us richly, and to your Spirit, that he might move among us. In Jesus' name, amen. So, this is meant to be a sermon, or was meant to be a sermon, on speak to one another. If you've been here regularly at the Six, can I take this off the PowerPoint actually, Sam? I like people looking at me. Yeah. Get your Bibles open. So much better. Yep. This was meant to be a sermon on speak to one another. And if you've been a regular here at the Six, we've been doing a series on Christ-like community. And we've been looking at the one another sayings in the New Testament. And we were finishing our series tonight on this phrase, speak to one another. So it's meant to be a sermon on speaking. Although, interestingly, that sermon would have really been a sermon on singing. Because if you look at the passage in front of you, Paul says, speak to one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your hearts to the Lord. And I'm going to talk about singing later on, and we will sing later on. But I'm not going to major on speaking or singing. But the Spirit. Because in this passage from Ephesians chosen today, Pentecost Sunday, is that phrase, verse 18, do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. And you might think that that phrase was in there when we chose this passage deliberately. That would be a good thing to have thought for Pentecost Sunday. No, it was accidental or coincidental or whatever. But I want to speak about this phrase, be filled with the Spirit. And I want to begin by talking about grammar. So I wonder how your grammar is. So I'll take you back to school. Are you good on nouns and verbs? No, Ian? He's shaking his head. Can you tell a conjunction and an interjection apart? Do you know the difference between an indicative and a subjunctive? Do you know how to use an active and a passive or an imperfect and a pluperfect? Yes? No. Yeah, some of you are nodding. Yeah, some of us love grammar. Yeah, I quite like grammar. So I want to talk about this phrase, be filled with the Spirit, and it's grammar. And particularly the verb, be filled with the Spirit. And I want to say four things about this verb, be filled. So you ready for some grammar? Yep. Firstly, it is an imperative. You know what an imperative is? Yep. It is a command. Be filled. Sit down. Stand up. Shut up. These are imperatives. Yep. And imperatives are commands. And this is a command, not a cautious suggestion. Yep. It's not maybe you might like to consider being filled with the Spirit as a possibility. It is a command. It's obligatory, not optional for the Christian. We are commanded to be filled with the Spirit. And for various reasons, I have taken this to heart recently in the US. I don't think I've ever ignored this command or resisted it. But over the last year, I think I've had a fresh focus on this command. When you're ordained, when you become a vicar in the Church of England, the bishop is part of that service. It's a great service, some great words and prayers in it. At one point, the bishop gives a charge to those who are about to be ordained. And he basically sort of tells you all the seriousness of the responsibility you're about to take on, and sort of all the things that could go wrong if you do it in a silly way, and why you'd be stupid to do it in your own strength. And then there's this line, I can't remember the details of the charge, but the line where he says, pray earnestly for the Holy Spirit. Pray earnestly for the Holy Spirit. And last September, I was reminded of that. Someone asked me a question, what is it you want from God? And I was just reminded of this charge of the bishops, pray earnestly for the Holy Spirit. And I was led as I was thinking through reading the Bible to Luke chapter 11, and where Jesus talks about a good father who loves to give good gifts, and especially the gift of his Holy Spirit. And this command, be filled with the Holy Spirit, be filled with the Spirit, is one I think I've sort of tried to respond to in my quiet times. When I pray regularly and repeatedly. Lord, I pray earnestly for the gift of your Spirit. Because you tell me to. Be filled. It is an imperative. Okay? First piece of grammar. Imperative. Secondly, it is plural. I think we know the difference between singular and plural. It is plural. Now, we don't distinguish this in English in the way that we would use this verse or in this in our English translation. If I look out at you and I say, stop glaring at me. You don't know if it's just Graham glaring at me, singular, or he's not, or whether it's all of you. We don't have a way of distinguishing in the way that we use, or the way that English works. But in Greek, you can distinguish. And this verb is plural. Be filled. All of you. It is command for all of us. It's not for the spiritual elite. Not just for those who are being ordained or offering themselves a particular service in the church. It's not just for the people who really need it. It is addressed to the whole Christian community. Verse 18, none of us are to get drunk. Does anyone need to hear that tonight? None of us are to get drunk. All of us are to be filled with the Spirit. And in fact, it seems from the way that this verse then carries on, that one of the times that we will experience this fullness of the Spirit is when we gather together, plural, as God's people. Paul goes straight on from talking about fullness into the fellowship of what we do when we gather together, to gather corporately in worship. And one of the main things that we do when we gather is we sing. Speak to one another in psalms and hymns and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord. There he talks about different types of singing or different things that people sing. Psalms, we know what they are. Hymns, it would seem that they probably, people have wondered the difference between these different things. But hymns are probably older, slightly more formal songs. And then he talks about songs from the Spirit. These are more likely to be newer, maybe almost spontaneous songs that were sort of come up from within the congregation. But one of the signs of a Spirit-filled church is singing. Joyful, heartfelt singing, worship. And always with these two dimensions, and you see them in the passage, the two dimensions of our singing, of our corporate worship, the horizontal, speak to one another. I mean, it means sing to one another because of what it means you're speaking. Speak to one another, sing to one another. And then sing and make music in your heart to the Lord. The horizontal and the vertical. Speak to one another, sing to the Lord. Sometimes, but often, we sing with our eyes closed. Lord, worship you. But normally, we sing with our eyes open, aware of one another, singing to one another. I was talking just recently to Mark Landreth-Smith, the pastor at Bridge Church. And he'd been to a church in America quite recently, a massive church, loads of good things about it, huge sort of stadium experience. And they were handing out earplugs before you went into the auditorium because the music was so loud. And he went in, I don't need those. Mark, you know, loves a good sing. But after a little while, he realized, I do need those earplugs. And he went out into the foyer to get the earplugs. But they run out because so many people needed them. He said, you couldn't even hear yourself sing, let alone those around you. And it made me think, it's hard, thinking of Ephesians, to take this command, speak to one another, if you've all got earplugs in. And don't get me wrong, the stadium experience is inspiring and can be incredibly encouraging and powerful. But the normal experience of Christian worship, corporate worship, is when we hear one another and encourage one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. This week we've been praying in Thy Kingdom Come as part of it for the persecuted church. And I read this week of a church in a country where when Christians gather, they whisper their songs because of the dangerous context within which they meet. Very dangerous to sing loudly, but still they sing in whispers because it's such an essential part of building your faith and your community to sing together, even if you've got to do it in whispers. If that's what we had to do, it'd be interesting to think about what songs we'd choose, which would be the ones that work well when you've got to whisper them. A sign of the Spirit's presence, be filled with the Spirit, will be when we gather together and when we sing together. Be filled. It's plural. All of us together. So back to the grammar. Be filled. Imperative. Plural. Passive. An active verb, if you know about your verbs, is when you do something. I fill my water bottle. A passive verb is when something is done to you. And this verb, be filled, is passive. Another way of putting it would be to say, let the Holy Spirit fill you. We cannot fill ourselves with the Holy Spirit. There's no technique to learn. There's no formula to recite. There's nothing we can do apart from offer ourselves in repentance and faith. Simply ask. Often when people pray for the Spirit, they do it with open hands. It's a kind of double sign, isn't it? It's a sign of willingness and also a sign of emptiness. I have nothing to offer. No money, nothing. Another way would be to kneel down. I am not worthy. The Spirit is something that God gives to us. We simply receive him. And God gives him to us in his own way, in his own time. It's his business. And there's a kind of wonderful freedom that comes from recognizing that. It takes the anxiety out of it. It's God's business. How and when he fills me. That's his business. My business is just to be open to it. I said earlier that I say these things cautiously, but I've made it my pattern recently to pray daily for the Holy Spirit. And as I've done that, what I've done is I pray for a different aspect of the Spirit's work each day. I found that's a helpful way of thinking, what does the Spirit do and what is it that I need? So on Monday, I pray for the gift of the Spirit. On Tuesday, I pray for the fullness of the Spirit. On Wednesday, I pray for the wisdom of the Spirit. If you ever want to get some wisdom, then choose a Wednesday to book a meeting with me. I'm especially wise then. On Thursday, I pray for the gifts of the Spirit and, as Paul commands us, especially prophecy. It's on Thursday afternoon, finishing off my sermon, and I want to speak with insight, God's words, into today, into lives, not just general. On Friday, I pray for the fruit of the Spirit. And if I'm giving you the impression that my quiet times are just perfectly wonderfully ordered, and is it, you know, then please don't let me fool you. Like all of us, you know, nothing is as perfect as a plan till you put it into action. But that's been my pattern, and it might sound formulaic, but it's my way of saying, Lord, I'm asking, and over to you. It's liberating. Be filled. It's an imperative. It's plural. It's passive. It's actually interesting, just as an aside, that in the parallel passage, we had two passages read to us, Ephesians and Colossians. They both talk about the church gathering together. They're very, very similar, as I'm sure you noticed. And in the parallel passage in Colossians, instead of the phrase, be filled with the Spirit, Paul uses a different phrase. He says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. And it's interesting, it takes up the Spirit and puts in the word. And in the way that he does that, we can see, of course, the Spirit and the word are not the same. Of course not. But we cannot separate the work of the Spirit and the work of God's word. It would be terrible to try and do that. Jesus told us that the Spirit leads us into all truth. And so to open yourself to the Spirit is simply to be obedient to the word. But back to the grammar and my final point. It's an imperative, it's plural, passive, and it's present. It's a present imperative. In Greek tenses, they have senses that we don't have in English, so you can say be filled, and that can be a once-off command. I'm sure you all know this. Or it can be an ongoing command. When Jesus told, remember in John chapter 2, when he tells the wedding, fill the jars, that's an imperative, and it's an aorist imperative. It means just fill them once. The jars need filling once, and that's it. But here, it's the go on being filled imperative. Keep on being filled. And the fullness of the Spirit, I'm sure you know this, is not a once-for-all experience that can never be repeated, but a privilege to be renewed continuously as we respond to God in faith and obedience. A Christian has been sealed with the Spirit once for all. When we become Christians, we're given the Spirit, a deposit, a down payment, a guarantee, God's seal. You are mine. That's it. One off. If you're a Christian, you've been sealed by the Spirit. But you do need to be filled with the Spirit. And go on being filled with the Spirit. Every day, every moment of the day. How God chooses to do that, that's his business. But that is what we're commanded. This week, we've been praying through the 11 days of Thy Kingdom Come. And we've met three times a day. There have been prayer sessions here at St. Nick's three times a day, 7:30 in the morning, 12:30, and then 7:30 in the evening. And we've been praying together, and I've been at quite a few of those sessions. And we've often, it's interesting, I've noticed, often been praying very similar prayers. I mean, each day has had a different theme, but we've often prayed very similar prayers. We pray for a different country where there's significant persecution for Christians. And it's actually because Marcy and I were joking about it, because the situation in the top 10 most persecuted countries in the world is really very similar. There's quite a lot of repetition. Most of the Christians there are in danger of being killed for their faith. And so the prayers that we prayed today were really very repetitious. But I thought there was something quite powerful about repeatedly coming back to God and sort of praying the same prayers. Saying the same thing. There was a sense in which we were knocking. And it reminded me of a passage I referred to earlier, Luke chapter 11, where Jesus tells that parable of the friend who goes to another friend at midnight and knocks at his door and says, give me some bread. And Jesus says, you know, well, if it was anyone else, they wouldn't. But because of his, he's got this great phrase, because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. And there's something about just repeatedly asking the same prayer, kind of shameless audacity in praying the same thing over and over again. And Jesus leads from that parable, this parable of knocking, to saying these words. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, we'll give him a scorpion. If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? So be filled with the Spirit. It's an imperative. It's plural. It's passive. And it's present. Let's pray together. Please stand with me. Do stand. In a minute, we're going to sing the song that contains these lines. We surrender to the truth that all we need is found in you. And Lord, as we ask ourselves the question, what is it we really need from you? All sorts of answers might come, but we pray above and beyond all of them. We ask for the fullness of your Spirit within each one of our lives and within the life of this church. Might the Spirit be evident as we meet, and might the Spirit be evident as we go out and those outside meet us. Fill us, we pray, with your Holy Spirit. Amen.